Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
You going back into lockdown anytime soon, or is Cobham not on the very, very bad list?
I don't think it's on the very, very bad list, it has to be said. It was my daughter's fourth birthday yesterday, so we ventured out for a meal in the Ivy in Cobham, which seemed all right, it has to be said. People were still in joyous moods. The apparel was flowing early doors. So I think perhaps people getting a little bit concerned that it's coming and looking to enjoy it while we can.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, it's a bit confusing, isn't it? I mean, if you're a pub and you don't serve food, then you have to close in some of the, well, Liverpool, for example. But if you serve food, you can stay open as if the virus doesn't spread if you have a Cornish pasty.
Yeah, exactly. This concept of a main meal. Listen, I think it's a balancing act between obviously trying to restrict the spread of the virus and to reduce the impact on the economy. And that's always going to be somewhat of a fine balance, it has to be said. I think the major concern is, listen, it's not about people simply drinking and having a meal sitting down. It's fine, but it's the drinking culture and people coming together in bars that appears to be the major concern that they're worried about.
You could still have sort of 7 or 8 pints while you're having a curry, though, couldn't you?
Yeah, I suppose, but you're not sort of in. Probably if you're doing that, you're not sort of mingling with other people, and that's okay. Where the concern starts to shine through.
On a more serious note, I mean, all these warnings about the collapse of the football pyramid in England, we've had some suggestions by Liverpool and Manchester United of what they could do to redistribute some cash, but it's a dire situation. And on the social distancing, surely you could have social distancing in a stadium, you know, and still have a couple of thousand people in there.
There's some abnormalities, there's no doubt about it, in terms of the rules. There's certain things that you can do. For example, you can't sort of sit next to your grieving mother at a funeral, but you can go to a pub or a restaurant in most places in the UK still and sort of enjoy a meal with a bunch of strangers. So there's a wide range of things, I suppose, that you could point to. Yeah, the football thing, I think, is quite interesting. You've seen... I was watching some American football, I flicked on it, and there was a lot of fans in the stands at American games. You've seen it elsewhere, and it's generally outside, which is obviously seen as significantly different. And for beyond the Premier League, of course, gate receipts are an incredibly important element of revenue for football clubs, and without that, the fear is that many of them will collapse. The broader question around what's taking place from the Premier League is an interesting timing, isn't it? Yes, they're offering money and a more support line to clubs lower down the divisions, but at the same time looking to secure their position in terms of being in that major league for a prolonged period of time and the power that they have to determine where it goes from here.
Well, something's going to happen pretty quickly because a lot of the chairmen in the lower leagues are warning that clubs are going to go to the wall within 5 to 6 weeks unless something is done. And there's quite a lot of money tied up in the lower league teams altogether, not to mention all the jobs as well.
Yeah, lots of jobs. It's also, you know, an academy, a breeding ground for players to go into the higher leagues as well. And it's a fundamental part of UK society and something I think many people would look to protect. So let's hope they can come to a solution that equitably splits some of the strong revenue flows that we see into football getting down to those other clubs as well.
Okay, on to the markets. No stopping them at the moment. Wall Street had a very good day yesterday. You don't think that the markets are slightly over-egging the possibility of a Biden victory? So we know what happened with Brexit. The markets got that totally wrong, didn't they?
Yeah, markets got it wrong in 2016, you have to say. And if you remember, initially after President Trump was elected, then markets sold off quite aggressively, then bounced back very strongly. So it's hard to gauge exactly what how quickly the political environment can filter through into financial markets. But markets certainly powering ahead. Yesterday, US stocks trading close to a six-week high as money flowed back into the stay-at-home trade as governments around the world have been talking about tightened restrictions amid rising coronavirus infections. S&P 500 extended its gains into a fourth day. Nasdaq posted its biggest advance since April as technology shares powered ahead. Amazon was up more than 4% ahead of its Prime Day. Apple shares jumped ahead of its launch of its new iPhone range, set to include a 5G version. After plunging into correction territory last month, the Nasdaq has extended its gains from the March lows in recent days to 75%. In terms of the focus today, we're very much going to be on the US banking results, get numbers from the likes of JP Morgan and from Citigroup. US bank shares have been rebounding during the course of this month ahead of the results season. Banks are expected to report a rise in profits driven by strong trading revenue. I think the focus will continue to be on those bad loan provisions. Banks, you know, set aside huge amounts in terms of loans going bad. But so far, many of those loans have not soured as quickly as feared. So we'll be looking at the rate there. The focus will also be on cost cutting, job reductions and restructuring. S&P 500, to give you a headline number, was up 1.6%. NASDAQ closed up 2.5% yesterday. Opening calls on the European bourses at the FTSE up 19 points. DAX flat. CAC 20 in Paris down 1 point.
So you'll be queuing up for your new iPhone, will you?
I don't think I will. I've got an iPhone 7 I came to, because I need a new cover.
That's what I've got.
I spent a long time trying to work out exactly which iPhone I've got to get that covered, to be honest with you. But yeah, I'm still on iPhone 7, so I think the world has moved on beyond me, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I'm not too pleased with Apple, because the last iOS update, I suddenly noticed my battery was draining really, really quickly. So I made a few changes in the settings, it seems to have slowed it down, but it's definitely a deliberate ploy, isn't it?
Yes, what, to encourage you to take the next one?
Yeah,
they're very good, Apple, at sort of re-engineering ways to get you to buy yet another Apple product, it seems to me.
Well, that's where the unfair market's dominance comes in, isn't it?
Well, you're leading this charge now, aren't you? You're against the monopoly power of the big technology companies.
I would say so, yeah. Fair crack of the whip for everybody. Finally, UK unemployment data is in today. It's going to be the start of a fairly sharp curve upwards, isn't it?
I think that's exactly right. It's a taste of what's to come. August unemployment rate came in at 4.5%, higher than analysts were anticipating. Market was looking for a figure close to 3.3%. It's ticked up significantly, of course, from the previous figure that was at 4.1% in July. But we know, of course, beneath that headline reading, it's been artificially supported, the labour market, by the furlough scheme. UK employment data shows a fall of jobs of 354,000 from March to June. The new job support scheme is less accommodative, and I think if you add further restrictions into that and a tough winter ahead, I mean, I think the services sector benefited a little bit from the Eat Out to Help Out scheme and from staycationing. That's not going to be the case over the course of the next few months. Less support for employees holding on to their staff means unemployment will rise. In fact, we've got UK unemployment 8.8% at the end of this year, recovering next year to finish 2021 at 6.2%. That, of course, is considerably higher than the 3.9% pre-pandemic rate.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.30 this morning. Euro dollar 1.18. Going to get 1 euro 10.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you tomorrow. Hank Potts and Barclay.